Hello to everyone. We're going to reconvene our joint meeting of CMAC and GPF. And we're going to initially focus for this part of the session on primary financial statements. And with that, let me hand over to Aida. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. I think I successfully unmuted myself, which is always good when it happens. Good afternoon to everyone. It's nice to see you again, albeit virtually. Our last meeting, official meeting together was back in March when we had an outreach with respective CMAC and GPF groups to discuss your initial feedback on the proposals in the exposure draft. But since March, we had lots of engagement with many of you, either through individual outreach meetings or your participation in roundtables, in the field work, and also in the workshops we held over summer. So I just want to also acknowledge that many of you have participated in comment letters sent by your respective organizations, and really just want to thank you for all that engagement, all that time and effort and the passion you're putting into this project. And, you know, this is really instrumental for us in, you know, developing a high quality standard, which we expect to be the outcome of this project. So with those thanks, I just want to, before I go into discussing what will be the topics, specific topics in the breakouts today, I just want to spend a couple of minutes to share with you some of the general feedback we have heard during outreach. And with that, maybe I ask Nick to share, to show us the slide 4, which summarizes the feedback we had from investors. And as expected, lots of things on this slide are green, which means investors agreed with lots of proposals. And we really expected this to be the case, given that this project is very much driven by user needs, and almost every proposal in the exposure draft is in direct response to those user needs. I'm not going to go through this slide in detail. This is very high level, but just noting where things are orange. We have heard some concerns, or maybe in some cases also variety of investor views, which we will need to analyze further. And in particular, with case of integral and non-integral associate in JVs, we haven't heard many or, you know, any at all really investors supporting these proposals much. When we go move on to discuss feedback from preparers, so next slide, we can see there is not as many green boxes as from investor feedback. And this is mainly driven by two things. One is the application challenges that some companies have identified with applying some of the proposals, and also concerns around the cost of applying some of the specific proposals on this project, in particular, you know, expenses relating to expenses analysis by nature and by function, and, you know, aspects of some other proposals. I just want to caveat these two slides, because these slides we prepared very much based on the outreach feedback. Today we have 210 comment letters. The deadline for comment letters expired last week, and it is possible that the colors of on these slides might change as we take into account all the feedback from those comment letters. So with that, I'm just going to move on to discuss what is actually the focus of discussion today, which we have summarized on the next slide. And today we really want to drill into two of these topics where we heard concerns either around costs or usefulness, and really get your help in brainstorming this issue to help us take our thinking forward in how it's best to address the feedback we have received. And the focus today will be two topics. One is classification of income and expenses from foreign exchange differences and derivatives. And this will be focus of discussion for those of you who are allocated to Group 1. And the second topic is the scope of proposals for management performance measures, which will be focus of discussion for those of you who are allocated to Group 2. We don't expect that groups will manage to discuss both topics, but if you do finish discussion of your allocated topic, then please do discuss the other topic as well. And just to note that Bruce McKenzie will be facilitating discussion of topic 1, and Zach will be facilitating discussion of the topic 2. I just want to also give another caveat.
Just, just yeah. to clarify, they'll be working with groups one and two rather than on topics one and two. Is that right, Zach and Bruce? They're not swapping.
I'll use them interchangeable because group one is discussing topic one, group two is discussing topic two.
Okay, just to be clear. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Nick, for that. So I just want to do another caveat. I'm full of caveats today because we are in a period just after the outreach and consultation period has ended. So I'm careful of not giving the wrong impression. So selecting these topics does not mean that our assessment is that these are most problematic topics in the exposure draft, but it is really a result of our assessment that these topics will be most useful to discuss today, and partly reflecting the fact that some of the other let's say controversial topics we already discussed in the workshops with some of you over summer. So for example, those discussions include a discussion about integral associate and joint ventures, also include a discussion about analysis of expenses by nature and by function. So the rest of the slides from 7 to 13, you have summary of that discussion during summer. I'm not proposing to go through that today, but before I hand over to Nick Barlow to run us through the topic one, I just want to pause and see if there is any general comments or questions from anyone. I think this is a sign for you, Nick.
Great. Thank you, Aida. So as Aida mentioned, this is one of the topics that foreign exchange that we haven't really had a chance to talk much about in the outreach yet, because it tends to be sort of a level of detail down from some of the other proposals. But as we work through the results of the field work in particular, we're starting to see signs that there are potentially particular challenges for entities that implement the proposals for foreign exchange. And so we'd like to explore with the preparer groups a little bit about what some of those challenges are, and then from the user perspective, what information is important to make sure we capture in what these proposals are saying. And so the board has proposed where to classify foreign exchange in the categories and subtotals with the goal, like the rest of it, of getting more comparability in those subtotals. And so to set the scene for the conversations that we'll have in the breakout group, I'd like to just give a brief reminder of what those proposals specifically say. I'll talk a little bit about a rejected approach that the board considered, but also, and then I just want to highlight briefly the interaction with derivatives, because foreign exchange is one of those sort of things where it's because of the hedging activities that happen with it, it becomes a little bit difficult to sort of pull apart where the accounting is for the foreign exchange itself, and then what's happening with those risk management activities. So to jump right into the proposals themselves, I just look at an example on slide 21, and I'll maybe first just talk about what the proposals are dealing with and what they're not dealing with, just so we're all sort of speaking the same language. And that first green item highlighted there is one of the items that we're not dealing with. So this is highlighting the fact that there's going to be foreign exchange effects on income and expenses that are happening in the period and going through the statement of profit and loss. These don't result in a foreign exchange gain or loss line item. And so the proposals don't deal with these in any way, but we have to be aware that they're happening in the background, and this some of the risk management activities are trying to deal with that fluctuation. If we jump to the bottom, the light gray box is speaking to the fact that IAS 21 has requirements for how foreign exchange is dealt with when we consolidate a foreign subsidiary. Again, those typically go through OCI and are recognized when the subsidiary is disposed of. So the proposals aren't dealing with that side of it either. So where we are talking about is these dark gray highlighted line items. And this is to do with the translation of monetary items that are sitting in the balance sheet, and so are retranslated every period. And so you see two examples here in the operating profit section. We're seeing translation of our working capital, so accounts receivable, maybe accounts payable type balances. And these are going to be coming through. And then we also see an example of something that may be more financing related, this foreign exchange on the translation of debt. Now, so what the board has proposed, as demonstrated by these two line items, is that the foreign exchange impact would follow the category of the income and expenses of the item that gave rise to that foreign exchange difference. So just as in these two examples, if you have debt, for example, the income and expenses on debt are going through the financing category, and so the foreign exchange differences on that debt would also go through the financing category. Now, the main benefit of that, why the board landed on this proposal, was because this is seen to give the most faithful representation of what goes into those categories. So, for example, operating profit includes all of the expenses on the operating type items, and that includes the foreign exchange related to those items. Similarly, financing. We don't have an example here of investing, but equally. Now, the trade-off with that is that to the extent that these items offset, or so as people sometimes think of as an economic hedge, those won't be reflected in the subtotal. So as we can see, the offset between that foreign exchange on the debt won't be in the operating profit category, offsetting that foreign exchange loss on the translation of the working capital. That in mind, if we look at the alternative proposal that the board considered, rejected, would be putting all the foreign exchange differences in a single location. Now, in this example, we put them in the finance categories. We see that today in practice, but it wouldn't necessarily have to be that particular category. And we see the benefit of this approach is you get that offset within the category, those foreign exchange gains or losses on one, the offset by the opposite movement on the other, and they would come through in that same section. Arguably, you may reduce volatility in the sections that are not subject to where those are classified, because now you don't see those fluctuations going through. But what it doesn't do is address those income and expense items that I talked about in the first slide with the green. That still exists because these proposals wouldn't deal with that either. Those types of fluctuations would still occur. And so we still need to think about that from a risk management perspective. I will now just talk briefly about the hedging or the derivatives. And what I wanted to highlight here is how it interacts with the foreign exchange proposals. And this is a slightly complicated graph, which tries to talk about the mechanics of hedging. But if we break it down to that first sort of row, if you will, where we see designated as a hedging instrument, that's really trying to say, to the extent you're using hedge accounting under IFRS 9 or IAS 39, you continue to do the same thing. Nothing changes. Those risk management activities would still be reflected in the same categories that they would be now. And that's because we have this very specific one-to-one relationship with those hedging relationships. So in the second piece, this is where we are talking about non-designated hedging derivatives. So a derivative that we haven't assigned as a hedging instrument in IFRS 9 or IAS 39, but we are using it for risk management. And the board's proposals here is that because that's used for risk management, it makes sense that the gains or losses on that derivative would go in the same category as the gains or losses arising from the risk that it's trying to offset. So if we thought about that debt in the financing section, if we have a derivative to try and offset the foreign exchange risk there, it makes sense then that the gains or losses on that derivative offset the foreign exchange in that financing category. And so this will work, I think, quite well if, when we're talking about a one-to-one hedge. So I have one derivative hedging one item, regardless of which of those two scenarios that we talked about all in one place or across the categories, that derivative gain or loss is going to follow the FX gain or loss. It gets more tricky in both scenarios when we're talking about hedging on a net basis. And I think some of this will probably come out in the discussion. This is, I think, where some of the trade-offs we might see. And then I think the last piece, just to clarify that if you had derivatives, for example, just for trading purposes, trying to make a return on those are seen as to go into the investing category, and so would be unrelated to our discussion about FX. So with that brief discussion of what the proposals are, the contrast to our alternative proposal that was rejected, and a little bit of how this interacts with the derivatives and hedging, I'd like to turn over to Ilhong. I just say, I know this is a tricky area. If there's questions specifically, some of these, we'll discuss those within the group specifically, and I'm certainly happy to go through that. But for the interest of time, we'll turn over to Ilhong to talk about the next topic.
Thank you, Nick. So today in this session, we would like to discuss with CMEG and GPF members with focus on the scope of management performance measures. I'm going to explain the main proposals of management performance measures briefly. We have received feedback from many outreach meetings with stakeholders and fieldwork with companies. I will share the feedback and provide possible approaches and factors to consider in order to address the concerns about the scope. Let's move to the slide 30. We require companies to bring their management performance measures inside the financial statements in a single note disclosure in order to enhance transparency and discipline. We define MPMs as performance measures that are used in public communications outside the financial statements, for example, the press release, investor presentation, and complement the totals or subtotals specified by IFRS standards and communicate management views of an aspect of an entity's financial performance. Management needs to justify why they are useful measures. On slide 31, MPM is only a subset of what we call alternative performance measures. Non-financial measures are not MPMs. IFRS specified measures, for example, profit or loss and operating profit, are not MPMs. And measures that are not subtotals of income and expenses, such as free cash flows and ratios, are not MPM. On slide 32 and 33, there are early feedback on the exposure draft based on feedback from outreach meetings and fieldwork. I will focus on next slide, which summarizes key feedback themes. Let's move to slide 34. So users strongly supported the proposals, and many of them asked for the scope of MPM to be extended to other performance measures, such as free cash flows and return on capital employed. We have heard three main concerns about the proposals. In addition to investors, other stakeholders asked to expand the scope, as they are concerned that the MPMs would provide incomplete picture of a company's performance. Related to the scope, question was a concern by some that there would be a duplication of information already provided outside financial statement. Today, we would like to focus on the discussion on how to address these concerns relating to scope. Other key concerns we have heard for relate to the reference to public communications, which may be onerous to identify and audit, and the cost of disclosure of tax and NCR effect of individual adjustments made in arriving at MPMs. We discussed both of these topics during summer workshops with some CMEG and GPF members and are not discussing them in the meeting today. Summary of the discussion during the workshops is on slide 12 and 13. On slide 35, so to address concerns about MPMs providing incomplete picture of financial performance, we could consider expanding the scope of MPM to include subtotals which are used in computational ratios, or even broader to include cash flow measures and balance sheet measures. In this case, we would need to consider how to define the expanded scope and what disclosures to propose. This would take significant time, and re-exposure draft might be required. During the breakout, we will ask you to brainstorm practical issues and useful list of potential wider scope of MPMs. We are also asking you to consider approaches to possible expanded scope. On slide 36, another thing to consider to address concerns of duplication of information and could also address some of previous concern is to permit cross-referencing to MPM information provided outside financial statement. Some of current IFRS standards allow cross-reference to disclosures provided in other statements, such as management commentary or risk report. The other statements should be available to users on the same terms at the same time for the cross-reference. This approach was considered in the Principles of Disclosure discussion paper, which was issued in 2017, and is also expected to be discussed in forthcoming exposure draft management commentary practice statement. On slide 37, this slide suggests some factors to consider with cross-referencing. We will be looking to have further discussion about the factors to consider in the breakout. On slide 38, this slide sets out the questions we would like to focus on in breakout session, which will be facilitated by Jack. In the discussion, we would like to start with question on cross-references and then discuss potential expansion of scope of NPMs. Thank you.
So I think that sets us up nicely for the breakout sessions. And so I suggest we go, we're going back to exactly the same locations where we had the breakout sessions on the disclosure requirements around business combinations. So if I could ask everyone to make their way to those sessions now and to be back in this main room back here at 2:40 London time. Okay, thank you very much.